of plastic media are limited to fluids. So the whole lecture today will be devoted to viscoplastic fluids. Let's return back to my question, which we started from the end of this lecture. But the first equation, which of course we must take into account, this is the equation of
motion. And you see, this is this convective term, which appeared due to computation of full derivative. This is stress tensor describing stresses which are inside fluid. We are within the framework of the theory of small strains, so we have this. And now, in addition, we have this equation, which came out from the conservation of the mass principle. If you remember, we discussed this question. And due to this fact, we may not distinguish between strain tensor and its deviator, because anyway, trace is zero. This is exactly the trace of the tensor. And by the way, at this moment, I would like to ask you that if you remember, there was a question where how acts the equation which reflects balance of masses in the models related to solids. I don't know, did you try to answer this question, but maybe it is time now to point out that if you are in the models of plasticity, in models of solids, which we had, then instead of, you also have this relation, but it is not explicitly entering the system. It enters in the following way, that if you found stress-strain relations, and you know through the system development of these stress-strain relations in time, then due to that equation, you can recalculate and find how density will behave. But if you are in the theory of fluids, this equation implicitly enters the system. Another specificity of fluids is the representation of stress tensor. In fluids, it always has this form when one part is related to a scalar valued function, pressure, and this I is the unit diagonal tensor, and the second one, tau, it is somehow representing special properties of a media. So this will be anyway in linear, nonlinear fluid, this part will be. But this tau reflects specificity of a fluid. But this specificity mostly is related to deviatoric part of this trace. And again, we follow this conception that different models are described by assuming, by suggesting different potentials or superpotentials. And we believe that the corresponding law here is the following, that tau, that part, belongs to the subdifferentiable of the strain tensor. And depending on which W we take, we will have different models of fluids. Well, several words about boundary conditions. Usually in the theory of fluids, they use the non-penetration boundary condition or the conditions which arises on the free boundary of a fluid, which are basically described by Neumann type conditions. So here they are presented more or less, they are similar to those in fluids. And of course we must put initial condition. Now we have classical formulation which describes behavior of a fluid, where here is the equation of motion, incompressibility condition, constitutive relations, boundary conditions, and initial conditions. First class of fluids, which are usually in the literature called Bingham type fluids. In this case, this potential has such a form where mu, m, and k star, they are some constants, they are material constants, and the potential is split into part, into viscosity potential and plastic potential. This second one is the plastic potential. This constant k star reflects plastic properties of a media. If it is zero, then there is no plasticity. And if in addition we have m equals to 2, then we have classical Newtonian fluid. It is a model from which mathematical theory of fluids always starts. In this case, this dependence between stresses and strains is represented in such a form, and we can write our, if we take divergence of this, we have this, and then we immediately arrive when we substitute this divergence in the equation of motion, then we have the famous Navier-Stokes system, which describes behavior of viscous incompressible fluid. Of course, it is a nonlinear system, but here nonlinearity is due to this convective term. But from the viewpoint of constitutive relations, it is linear. It because it is generated by quadratic potential, so it is the simplest case. But anyway, it is not a subject of our lectures. It is another interesting subject to go deeply to this problem, because it is one of the challenging problems in modern analysis and still not completely solved. So the only one nonlinearity generated by this convective term brings so severe mathematical difficulties that they are not completely solved up to now. But we go now to a different direction. If this is positive and m equals 2, then we arrive at the classical Bingham model, as it was suggested. It is very often used in modeling of different phenomena. For example, modeling of blood flow in vessels is usually done using this potential, using this Bingham model. So here, as I said, plastic effects, they depend on the value of k star, and we will see this later even on the example of one problem where we can find exact solution, analytical solution, that if values of this k star are large, then in solution there appears the so-called stagnation zones, and there is no movement. They say that due to these stagnation zones, these unpleasant effects in blood vessels happen. Finally, if this is zero, so plastic effects do not exist, but on the other hand, the nonlinearity is here in this power factor m, then this class of viscous fluids is called Norton type models. The second big group is related to power growth potentials, and usually they are represented in in such a form, these two constants usually denote like mu infinity and mu zero. But in principle, of course, this is the same quadratic potential as before. But here, what we have is different. These models are more related to general theory of nonlinear differential equations and especially to plasticity, as well as this third class when you have logarithmic type potentials. This model is known as Pauling model. So all above classes of viscous fluids can be represented and can be studied within the framework of this main equation that describes non-Newtonian or generalized Newtonian fluids. If we study slow flow, if you know that there are no big velocities, there are no high gradients, then this term can be omitted or linearized. In principle, as well in the, as in the classical theory of fluids, you know that there are two types of linearization. One leads to Stokes, when you linearize this term around zero velocity, and another one leads to the so-called Ossian equation, when you linearize this term around some fixed velocity, given velocity. Both variants can be applied here, and then you will have linearized versions of this model. Before going to models of non-Newtonian fluids, it is necessary to make a short reminder of the classical model, which is in the basis of all others. This model is related to Newtonian potential, so it is linear with respect to constitutive law. It does not involve convective terms, so it is linear also with respect to this one. And here, even time derivative is omitted, so we have the simplest stationary Stokes problem, which consists of finding a vector-valued function u and a scalar-valued function p such that this system is satisfied. For those who is not familiar with problems in the theory of fluids, it might be necessary to comment why this factor p is inevitably arises here. It is easy to understand that, for example, if I will try to state such a problem, omitting this p and just saying that I want to find some vector field u, which is solenoidal due to this condition and satisfies boundary condition and satisfies this one, then this problem is not correctly stated, because there might be no such solution due to this additional requirement. Of course, if I skip it and just consider vector Laplacian, then I can do this. But if I put this, I cannot. And we need to compensate this by something, and it is clear that this compensating term is this, and it has physical meaning. It is pressure which exists inside fluid. So these are just some definitions for those who are not deeply, for those for whom this is not a matter of everyday study or whatever, just to remind things. This is this. The definition of the Laplacian of a vector function, how can we integrate by parts here and replace this term. If we multiply equation and multiply it by a trial function, then we will have this one. And also we should say a couple of words about functions, functional spaces, which are used in the theory of viscous fluids. First of all, we must introduce this space, which is the space of infinitely differentiable functions with compact support in omega, such that they are solenoidal. So divergence is zero. And then using this set as a basic set, we construct two other main spaces in the theory of viscous fluids. It is this one, when we make closure of these functions with respect to L2 norm, and this when we make this closure with respect to H1 norm. So basically, in the formulas which will be subsequently, we will use this space because it is the natural energy space for such type problems. So if I multiply this equation, if I multiply it by solenoidal function, what will be with this term is clear here. But what will be with this one is written here, and due to the fact that this function is solenoidal, I integrate by parts, put derivative here, divergence is zero, then it will be zero. So in this case, if you want to make first form of the weak formulation using astral functions from this class, then we have this. And it is clear that using density of these functions in the set in this space, in this one, we can always extend this definition to the whole set of H1 functions with zero divergence. What is written here? It is necessary also to make this remark because in the Stokes problem, as well as on all other models of viscous incompressible fluids, sometimes people, they are writing these equations in terms of the gradients, like here it is written. So here it is a tensor gradient converted with the also tensor gradient. And sometimes they represent this in terms of small strains. But this is both versions are possible due to this fact that the divergence of this guy can be decomposed like this. And since your fields, which you use, they are solenoidal, this goes away. So the difference between this and this only in the factor 1/2. So please do not be surprised. When necessary, we will write gradients. When it is more convenient, we will write this one. But it is the same. When we are operating with solenoidal fields, we can do this. So just to finish this subject, of course, if I take this my equation and multiply not by this set G of solenoidal fields, but I multiply by H1 functions vanishing on the boundary, then I will have this weak formulation of Stokes problem, which is also frequently used. And of course, the first formulation is equivalent to variational problem associated with such type energy functional. This is energy of the Stokes model, where this guy is explicitly represented here. So it is clear by theorems which we already know and principles which we already discussed that this problem possesses a unique solution and minimizer exists. Now, after these preliminary words, we go to Minkham model. So now we will be mostly focused on this model, on Minkham. You see, this is the potential which contains Newtonian potential and plastic potential. And remember that we decided that our tau must be in the set of subdifferentiables of this potential. Here I refer to the theorem which is well known in convex analysis. It has usually associated with the names of Morrow Rockefeller, which says you that under of course it is formulated in a bit more general frame, but in our case this Morrow Rockefeller theorem just says you that this subdifferentiable of the sum can be constructed as the sum of these two subdifferentials, so it is the sum of these two sets. Well, let's consider two cases. If epsilon deviator is non-zero, then just looking here, you see that the subdifferentiable will be just differential, because this will be differentiable function, and we have this unique expression. So problems may arise only when this guy is zero. Let us study this point. Assume that this is indeed the case, it is zero. Then the first part, of course, is zero. So what remains is that tau belongs to subdifferential of the second part. What this means? What this inclusion means? Actually, it means this, that tau is such a tensor which serves for any trial kappa, for any trial tensor kappa, which can be put here, and this inequality will be correct. Consider the right-hand side. In the right-hand side, we have this. And I decompose this part and this part into two orthogonal parts, into trace and deviator. And then I have this. But epsilon, our epsilon is such that this guy is zero. And therefore this goes away. So what I have this as a result. Yeah? This I skip, this I replaced, and now I have this relation. Let's continue. Assume that this is trial tensor. We can select it as we wish. Let's wish that this modulus is zero. And if it is the case, so this is zero, then will be, and here it will be zero. Then I have this. And this relation means, since trace of kappa is arbitrary, I can take it in such a way that here I can change sign in all, or it may be positive or negative depending on how I will select this kappa. So the only one conclusion which we can make out of this inequality is that this trace of tau is zero. Then what remains from here, what remains is this one. And the right hand side of this inequality is maximal. Here again, this kappa is arbitrary, and I want to select it in such a way that this part will be maximum. But this will be if this and this, they are coaxial. And this holds as this one. And then from I can always do by making kappa proportional to tau. But then from this equation, it follows that another part of tau will be subject to this inequality. So the first part is subject to this, and the second one is to this. So what it means? It means that if epsilon deviator is zero, then tau can be any such that tau contains only deviatoric part, and this deviatoric part is bounded by the constant. If you return back to the diagram, which we briefly discussed, this exactly means that if this modulus epsilon is zero, then tau can be any here. We cannot say more. These constitutive relations only say you that if epsilon is zero, and what it means? It means that we are exactly in this stagnation zone, in zone where there are no deformations. Then tensor of deviatoric part of the stress tensor can be any here. This is the specificity of viscoplastic fluid. Now, the question which we want to study, we want to formalize classical formulation and obtain mathematical formulation for which we can prove existence of a solution and which we can then study numerically, and we study approximations and this and that. The problem of Bingham flow in a basin, it means that we have some fixed volume in which something is happening with this fluid. It moves somehow under the direction of forces, and we want to model this. Now, in the classical formulation, when you study such a problem, implicitly or explicitly, mechanicians, they implement these restrictions that they believe that U is a continuous function up to the boundary, sigma will be this, pressure also continuous, these derivatives are in L2. Of course, if you formulate things like this, there is no hope to prove that solution always exists, but as a starting point of analysis, we can take it. And what we want now to show that mathematical structure which describes flow in a basin of such a fluid is evolutionary variational inequality of a special kind. And what we want is to formally obtain this variational inequality. So again, we will the key role in this analysis is here in the equation of motion. So now we will start some manipulations with this equation. And the first manipulation is that we will multiply it by trial function v and integrate. So when we do this, it is the first line that just what formally I did. I multiplied it, this equation by v. In the second line, the only difference is that this term is replaced by this one. Because v is vanishing at the boundary, we can integrate by parts, have this thing. And now, one more change, we will introduce pressure inside this equality. Again, you see that this term Pi epsilon of V and this one, they compensate each other, so it is an identity. Now the subsequent idea of transformations is the following. We have this guy which exactly enters our constitutive relations. Moreover, we know that it is this relation. And we want to extract from this constitutive relation some analytics, some formula, some inequality, and replace this blue term by another one, which will give explicit form of the inequality. So here I replaced W1 by its form, and W2 is left as it is. Actually, what is written here can be represented in a different form if I take this guy and put it here. Then what I will have will be this one. This tensor belongs to the set of subdifferential of plastic potential taken at epsilon of U, where U is exact solution. Again, what this means? This means exactly this one, that whatever trial tensor I take, it will serve this inequality. This guy is here in brackets. And now we make small substitution. We replace this trial tensor by this one. So we select it in some special form where U is exact solution and V is our trial velocity field. And then when we do this, so now this copper is taken like this, and here we will get this epsilon of V because epsilon of U will be subtracted with this epsilon of U. So now what we have I will rewrite this inequality in the opposite form. I will change left and right hand side. Sorry. Yeah. So now this exactly means this. So we have found analytical representation for that integral, which was colored blue. And now we will use it in that equation, and then we obtain this one. So you see this guy is excluded, and instead of it, we have this this term. And here in this part, this pressure term remains as it is. Now we select V in some special form. We select it as a function W, which is solenoidal, plus some function which keeps boundary condition, minus U. In this case, this divergence of V is zero. This field is solenoidal. And then this kappa tensor, because it was V plus U, so exactly it will be this one. If I put U here, so you will see that epsilon will be this one. And when we substitute this V inside, we will have this expression in which you see we have similar sums, w plus u0, w plus u0, here and here, which suggests an idea to name it by some new function, which also can be considered as a trial function. They are all in our disposal. So we define u wave as this one, and here you are. We arrived at the structure which describes exact solution of Bingham flow problem associated with the flow in a basin. So this is a parabolic type variational inequality, or evolutionary variational inequality, which says that u must be such that this inequality holds whatever trial functions u wave you take, such that they are solenoidal and they meet boundary conditions. This is the object which is to be studied. I will not do this, but those who want to make exercises, they can extract classical equations from here. Assume that this u exact solution possess all those properties which are suggested, which are assumed in the classical formulation. And then by playing with trial functions, you can extract classical formulation from here. So this will be, in this case, satisfied. If time derivative is zero, so if we consider quasi-stationary model, then we arrive at the elliptic type variational inequality, this one, where functions does not depend on time. And if also these gradients are small, then we have this problem, which is the stationary problem for Bingham fluid. This is a very famous, one of the most famous variational inequalities from which this theory started maybe 35 years ago. There were many works devoted to this matter about regularity of solutions, structure of free boundaries, this and that. For example, there is a very good book of Friedman where this is everything systematically exposed. Some special case which is useful as a simple test or simplest problem for analysis, which still keeps some features of the Bingham fluid. You have a long cylinder in which this fluid flows. Sometimes this problem is called anti-plane flow of a fluid, because this vector of velocity is perpendicular to the cross section, which is a plane, and flow is anti-plane, like this. And these words are formalized in these formulas. So velocity has this form, zero in x1, zero in x1 and x2, they will be in this directions, and x3 in this one. So zero here, and w here. And w is depends only on these coordinates. On the boundary, we have no penetration, no condition. And then, if I formally substitute small strain tensors this, then this gradient modulus will be this. We calculate derivatives formally and see that this x1 and x2 derivatives, they are non-zero and calculated throughout this w, but this one is zero, and therefore if you see on these combinations, you see that in this case convective term is also zero. So automatically for anti-plane flow, we do not have it. So we just take our formal setting, substitute V in such a form where W wave is the trial function for our W, and here you are, you get this scalar valued version of a Bingham flow problem which describes flow throughout a pipe. In spite of its simplicity, such type models are often used in applied analysis because flow in a pipe is a very important problem for many, many cases. And for example, flow of oil is described in terms of non-Newtonian fluids. It is not a Newtonian one, so it is quite realistic model. Now we proceed to existence of solutions, and I think that it is now time to have a short break.